adding a little note in on this episode, and I will probably put this little tack in on a couple of episodes, but because I don't cuss a lot, I think my podcast gives off that air of not being explicit in language. And I had to mark the entire podcast explicit because I know there are and there will be some episodes that have some foul language in it. Foul language, do people say that still? I just wanted to let you know, this episode, there is foul language. So if you are somebody who is not expecting that because of how some of these other episodes have been and how I generally talk, you may want to put your headphones on and make sure your kids aren't around you, okay? You've been warned.
This is the Daddy Unscripted podcast. My daddy made this for you to listen to, so we all hope you like it. He paid me good money to tell you to give him a good review on iTunes. Is that even legal? Well, I go call the child labor people. Here's my dad.
All right, it is time for another Fork in the Road episode, you guys. This is with Jason Green, who, if you listened to his primary episode, you know all about my connection with him and how far our history goes back. And I think we talked a little bit about our rivalry as far as sports goes and whatnot. But if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, go back and take a listen to that episode. It's really interesting, all of the stuff that he has gone through in his life and what his life is like as a father right now. But in this Fork in the Road episode, we are going to primarily pretty much focus on sports. So our back and forth is pretty entertaining, I think. But I'm not going to lie. For those of you who absolutely hate sports, number one, what is wrong with you? How can I help you? Let me guide you. Number two, you may still get a little enjoyment and entertainment out of this conversation between Jason and I, because we're, I think, fairly entertaining, and even if we're talking about sports. But for those of you who do like sports, this should be a very entertaining conversation. It's a lot about the Lakers, and because Jason loves the Lakers and he loves the Los Angeles Rams football team that is returning now to the area, formerly St. Louis Rams. So we talk a little bit about that. We talk about some 80s basketball and where my road has gone for my former complete passion of the NBA. We talk a little baseball, very little because Jason hates baseball. But I think this is a kind of an interesting fork in the road regardless. So have a listen, and I hope you enjoy it. I have good control over that. But the worst is when you wake up from the dream where you are peeing in utter fear that you are doing it. Because that was always the one that got me when I was a kid was...
Yeah.
I was out there peeing. What am I going to do in real life? I'm going to pee my bed. Okay, so this is the official Fork in the Road episode with Jason Green, who we just had in for a normal episode. Welcome back, Jason.
Thanks. It's great to be here
again. You actually did stand up and walk away.
Yeah, so no, I'm not lying. You're looking fantastic.
So you look great. You look even better than the first episode.
By the way, have you, I mean, so assuming that not all of your listeners, mm-hmm. Know who you are.
Yes.
Have you described yourself to your listeners? Do they know who they're listening to?
Well, if I was to do it, I would get yelled at by my wife because, so here is the, if I'm going to describe myself to somebody, I would have to go with somebody that people would know.
Makes sense.
So you would go for your like celeb lookalike. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, I got a lot of Pauly Shore, which is great. And when I was even younger than that, I got, it was one of the magicians, like not Doug Jennings, but one of those kind of older magicians.
Okay.
Not the watermelon guy.
No.
What is his name?
Oh, God. I can't remember.
It's a one name.
I'm
going to
Google who's the watermelon guy right now.
While you're doing that, as I've gotten older, with my job at First American, I had to go to the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And when I was there, the guys that were there were so insistent that I was pig vomit. Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. Okay.
So that has been my thing. And
Gallagher,
by the Gallagher, way. Yeah, is the watermelon guy. So Paul Giamatti, like, he's not the most handsome man on the planet, but I don't think he's, I mean, there's some pictures that don't do him justice, but I've got a bald head, which I embrace. Mm-hmm. I shave mm-hmm. down and just kind of deal with
do
it.
Do you bick it?
I don't bick it. My wife does not like the bicking. So okay. I go with a zero. Like okay. I'm all the yeah, way
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
And I usually have a beard to kind of cover up my secondary chins, which I grow. So, but I like having a beard. So that's
okay.
kind of how I look. If yeah, you look at my podcast,
you've had a lot of facial hair over yeah. the years.
So yeah, I did have the mustachio, the curly mm-hmm. mustache, which I loved
yeah.
for quite a while.
See, but, this is who I see.
Oh yeah, I could, if I did a mustache and some sideburns, I could see him. So this is
Tobias
Funke from
yeah, the Analrapist,
which he is David Cross, yes, yeah. Whose comedy is
phenomenal.
He's hilarious. Some points it's almost too much for me. I can be weak sometimes. I yeah. will admit it. But I do love David Cross. Oh, that's
Arrested
Development's
one of my favorite shows
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. yeah. I figured with us, I mean, we did talk about this as well previous yeah. during the prep fluffing mm-hmm. Was the many, many things that we could discuss, be it film,
mm-hmm.
Be it music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think pretty much the ones that we should either go, we could do a little bit of music, but I think sports is probably a lot better because you are so versed in both football and really in basketball.
I like basketball a lot.
A real lot. Yeah. You like basketball the way I like baseball.
Yeah.
Which is funny because you
I hate baseball.
And I don't hate basketball, but
it's not that I hate baseball. I'm just bored by it.
Yes.
You know, baseball, I actually love going to baseball games
mm-hmm.
Because there's beer there
mm-hmm.
and hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a good time to hang out with people.
It's typically sunny. You know, because baseball players are pussies and they don't play in any kind of weather. I mean, you know, look, basketball players play inside. But no, I mean, I love going to baseball games, but I just like, to me, like baseball it's like golf. It's a great sport to take a nap
mm-hmm.
to,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Whereas there's that word again, and I did it early in the episode.
You use that a lot. That's okay. We can edit this out.
I'm really trying not to.
Post.
When I Uber drove.
You Ubered.
While I was driving a couple weekends ago, this is when I really realized that it's being overused. I was driving a high school girl from one house party to another, and she was talking to her friend. And she said literally probably every 7 to 10 words.
Yeah.
And the time I knew that she was saying it too much was when she said that she literally died. It kind of is. I think a lot of people are starting to. I literally was. Yeah. I became the Hulk. Literally. Oh, you did?
Not really. No, that's actually not what that word means.
Yeah.
We could do a whole podcast on people just butchering the English language.
You are the kind of person. You are a TV show waiting to happen because you are kind of like the. I think. You will be an amazing old man, which is
I already am an old man.
Well, I mean, much older because you will be able to be. I think you are bitter in a humorous way.
Yeah. Wait till I'm just not humorous anymore.
Yeah, exactly. When it is just completely in your bones when you're an old man, yeah. I think you will be amazing.
Yeah, no, I actually really look forward to my dotage, you know, just mm-hmm. sitting on the porch in a rocking chair, just trashing
yelling
everything
at everyone.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that I won't be an old cranky guy. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping I'll be an old funny guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be like,
I don't know,
Billy Crystal in The Princess Bride.
Yes.
You know,
To glaive. He said to blathe. I always say Larry David is kind of his character in Curb Your Enthusiasm. I very much feel akin to, and unfortunately for me, but yeah, I kind of feel like I could be that guy who's just sitting in a movie theater. Did you watch that show at all?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, he reminds me of Woody Allen.
Oh my God. There's an episode early on. It's one of the first episodes, and he goes to the movies with a friend of his wife's, and he is wearing these pants that basically give him, which is funny that I feel so akin to him because I created the code word for this with Josh and Josh, with your brother Josh and our friend Josh, mm-hmm. Which I came up with two different words, which was peacoy, which was penis decoy.
Okay.
Or what was the other one?
Oh, where you sit, I can't remember. You get the little...
Yeah, you sit and your little flap goes up in your pants.
That's from the zipper.
And yeah.
You know,
and
button fly jeans, don't do that.
Don't do that, no. And so Larry David is sitting in the movie next to this woman, and he's wearing these pants, and he's like having to blame it on his pants because she keeps thinking that he's got some wood next. Yeah, it's hilarious.
The peacoy, dude.
So
I like it.
Peacoy. So anyways, we will, I think, should go into some sports haven. And I almost wanted, when I was thinking about this earlier, I was thinking the title very well could be, or the subtitle could be, the episode in which Jason tries to convince me to be a Lakers fan.
Ah, whoa, I like that. But I will try to convince you to be a Lakers fan.
It could also be, it could be in general where you try to convince me to be a basketball fan again.
You know, both I think noble endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that, you know, you're almost a lost cause because you're a Celtics fan, which mm-hmm. means that you just don't know anything about sports at all.
Let me tell you the history, because I don't know if I ever have really. Maybe
I don't
have,
understand your whole
or maybe
obsession
you didn't with, even listen to
I don't understand your whole obsession with New Boston. England sports.
As you're sitting here like with my
I know, Red Sox bobbleheads, I mean, at least there's no Patriots gear in here.
There
Jesus.
Is not.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, there will be during football season.
And that would ruin your filter.
When I was a kid, I enjoyed rooting against my dad. And my dad was a hometown fan.
Mm-hmm.
So he loved the Bruins, the UCLA Bruins, I should specify. Sorry.
Copy that.
And it just so happened that for a very different reason, which I won't go into, I ended up becoming a Tar Heels fan.
Ah.
So very easy rivalry right there. He was a Dodgers and an Angels fan, which I liked the teams to some extent,
mm-hmm.
but I ended up becoming fans of their opponents. At the time against the Dodgers, I was an Astros fan, which you don't really care about. It's baseball.
I'm yawning.
Dodgers. Oh.
Least you're not a Yankees fan.
No. And with the Lakers, I became a Celtics fan. And I just loved rooting against him. And so I had the joy of, at that time, it being the Larry Bird era and whatever. So I had.
Painful for your dad.
I had those great years. You know, I didn't hate the players that were on the Lakers. Like I didn't really have hatred for Magic Johnson or
right. You just hated
Worthy
your dad.
Or anything. I didn't. No, I loved my dad. But it was just fun, like having that antagonist as opposed to, I don't know what it was. I guess it is kind of what people call the hater gene or whatever now. But I just had more fun rooting against him. Yeah. And so that just kind of carried on. And I went back and forth in my Celtics stuff when I was playing basketball and loving basketball during my ages from 10 to 17, I would say, safely, right? 18. I loved a lot of the players I loved. I loved Dominique Wilkins like none other. He was my favorite player.
Yeah.
I liked the Celtics as a team, but I also really liked the Hawks.
Yeah.
Really Dominique. And I liked some of the Pistons, a couple of the Pistons players. I hated Isaiah Thomas, for the record.
We all do.
You know, there were a few players that I really, really liked, but I just enjoyed rooting against the Lakers. And then as time went on, you know, I loved Michael Jordan. He was a former Tar Heel.
Yeah.
But I never was really a Bulls fan or anything like that. And then I think the furthest it went until maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I finally came back to kind of getting back into basketball and loving the Celtics again in the heyday of KG and yeah. all of that was Iverson. Iverson was like, and probably until somebody takes that role,
yeah.
Is my all-time favorite player of me watching, you know, as it is taking place. Like, I just loved him so much. Which is very funny because his personality or who he actually was off the court and a little bit on is kind of what has always kept me away from basketball, because I don't love the smack talking. I don't love the gangsterization, which is not a racial whatever. I'm just saying, like, I just don't love the kind of atmosphere that the players create. And I don't love the flopping. I also was very big on when I'm giving you all this so you can counter me later.
Yeah.
I was very big on who was the ref who was getting paid to change games. What was his name? You will know.
I do know, but I can't remember.
Short
it off the top
brunette guy.
Yeah.
So the fact that a referee could change and control a game the way that refs could in the NBA and the way that they kind of did.
Donaghy,
yes. Really turned me off. And that was when I was kind of like, okay, if all this stuff is going on and it's kind of becoming the WWF of organized sports, of professional sports, because all of this other stuff is going on, you have all these sub stories that it just felt in that way that the commissioner was almost like the commissioner of the WWF and getting very involved in these dramas that were taking place and whatever. And so that made it very hard for me to stay interested. And then when the Celtics Lakers had their last hoorah, and when Paul Pierce, who also is probably one of my, I would liberally be able to say top 20 all-time favorite players. I love his story. It's more who he is. It's not his gameplay. It's more the fact that this guy who got friggin' stabbed and should have died became who he, you know, came on to be who he was. But when that all kind of went away, it was like, all right, it's not the same team. And I just didn't really have as much of a, I was able to kind of walk away from the NBA at that point.
Well,
so
it's interesting because you're always going to have that ability, right? I mean, you know, Father Time's undefeated, so players are always going to turn over. And so you're always going to have those opportunities to just kind of lose interest. And, you know, I mean, especially when, you know, frankly, I'm amazed that you kept an interest in basketball as long as you did, considering, you know, the Celtics were god awful for 19 years, you know. And I mean, you know, look, not to twist the knife, but, you know, I mean, losing Len Bias.
Oh, that was
the way that they did, you know, I mean, that, you know, and then Larry's back and, you know, I mean, it just sent them into a tailspin and they didn't come out of, I mean, Rick Fox was their best player for 6 years, you know, I mean, Rick Fox,
former Tar Heel,
love Rick Fox, former Laker too.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, come on, man, if Rick Fox is your best player on your team for 5 or 6 years, like your team's not very good, you know? So you're always going to have those moments where you can walk away. But here's the argument that I will make for you. And this is why you should return to the NBA and why you should return to the NBA right now.
Now, yeah.
Because your team's setting up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the Lakers are setting up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no greater rivalry in sports than the Lakers and Celtics. I mean, you talked about when you were a kid and your dad was a Lakers fan and you rooted against their arch rival.
Mm-hmm.
Bird, Magic, Celtics. I mean, those – look, the 86 Celtics is the best team in the history of the NBA, and that pains me to say as a Lakers fan. But that team is fucking ridiculous. And now and the thing is that like the 84 Lakers, I mean, that's like the second best team in the history of the mm-hmm. NBA. Like mm-hmm. those teams just traded blows. They were awesome.
Which both of those are huge statements right now, because right now is the argument of
Golden State
being,
not in the conversation,
being if they're not number one, they are number two
shaking
to the
my
Bulls
head back and forth
and
vigorously.
So those are very big
as
statements.
The New England Patriots will tell you, regular season wins mean almost nothing.
That's true.
73-9 is quite an accomplishment, but the reality is that as OKC is showing us, and I mean, did they close it out tonight? I don't know. I want to check right now. Golden State's not even they're not even the best team of the last 5 years. Golden State would get mopped up by the early Millennium Lakers.
Mm-hmm,
they'd
mm-hmm.
get mopped up by some of those Spurs teams, and they'd get destroyed by the 86 Celtics. They'd get destroyed by any team in the 80s. The reality is that, you know, I love Steph Curry. I love Klay Thompson. But, I mean, small ball?
Mm-hmm,
never.
Mm-hmm.
Never. They're not even and it's so funny because sports media, these guys, I mean, you know, they probably watch more games than I do, maybe. But their whole existence is I need to write something controversial.
Right, right. You
know, I need to write something to get page views. And so everything. calling this Golden State Warriors team, you know, the best team of all time. It's nonsense.
It's because of win number. That's it.
Can you imagine what the 2001 Lakers or the 2000 Lakers or mm-hmm. the 99 Lakers would mm-hmm. do to this Golden State team?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what Shaq would do to this Golden State team?
Oh my God. They would be so
destroyed. He would destroy them. He'd average 40 points and 20 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, so Steph Curry is a great player, but it's so funny, like watching this OKC series against Golden State. Look, if you had to say, you don't beat Steph Curry by stopping him on offense. Steph Curry's
he's going to get his points. Yeah.
He's going to get his.
Yeah.
The way you beat Steph Curry is you make him work on the defensive end. And if you had to pick a player in the league in 2016, that's going to make Steph Curry work, that's going to make Steph Curry's life a living hell, it would be Russell Westbrook. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook's averaging like almost a triple-double in the series.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, so Golden State, great team, fun to watch, love the long ball. Not even a top 10 greatest team of all time. Even close.
Which Golden State won tonight, by the way.
I'm not surprised.
They won by 9.
They're back
at home.
Yeah. They're back
in.
So
now it's 3-2.
And if they win the next game, it gets very, very interesting because they'll certainly be at home in game 7. I mean, Oklahoma City is facing a must-win game in game 6 at home, which is crazy, up 3-2, but it is what it is. And Golden State could win this series very well. They could still win it if they win the next game. But it doesn't change. It doesn't change the facts. I mean, you know, last year, if Golden State had to face a healthy Memphis team, if Golden State had to face a healthy Cavaliers team, there's mm-hmm. no way they win the championship last year.
A healthy or experienced together Cavs team like they are this year?
The two best teams in the West last year were the Spurs and the Clippers, and they beat the piss out of each other in the first round in a 7-game series that was one of the greatest series in the history of basketball playoffs.
I forgot about that.
Dude, it was insane. And I mean, look, the Clippers came out of that series and they were done. They were hurt. They were mm-hmm. banged up. They just played a brutal 7-game series against the second best team in the NBA, and they were just fodder, you know.
They don't have good luck in the playoffs right now.
Well, they're the Clippers.
Yeah, yeah. They are definitely cursed. Until they get rid of their head honcho,
they need to just move to Seattle and become the Supersonics.
Yeah.
You know? So, but anyways, to go back, the reason that you should be an NBA fan again right now is because the Celtics are
brewing
poised.
Something. Yeah.
They got
possibly.
They got the number three pick in the draft,
which they're talking about,
which sucks
possibly
for them
trading up,
which I don't know how they'll do that.
I can't remember the,
you know,
saw some breakdown on that.
Yeah. I don't,
have two.
Lakers got the second pick, and that's the thing, you know. I mean, the Celtics they've got some good young talent. They got a couple first round draft picks. You know, they're in a good position. The old guys have moved on. KG's back in Minnesota, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Is he retired? I don't know. I don't care. He hasn't been relevant for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's the thing is like, it's out with the old and it's in with the new. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing about sports, no matter what. And with small teams like they have in the NBA, you got the quick turnover. It's a good time.
It's a good time to be
a basketball fan.
Yeah, and
unless you're a fan of, well, okay, so let me take a step back here though. The Eastern Conference sucks.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was watching the game last night, Toronto Cleveland, and they were having a conversation about the commentators, because it was a 40-point blowout. It was a joke of a game. And the commentators were like talking about how great LeBron James is. And one of the guys, and I don't pay attention to who they are because I don't care and they suck. But one of the guys was like, oh, well, you know, if you took LeBron James and you put him on the Philadelphia 76ers, the worst team in the league, you know, how would the 76ers be?
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy says, if LeBron James was on the 76ers, we'd be broadcasting a 76ers game right now. And it's absolutely true. I 100% agree.
Really?
It just speaks to how bad the Eastern Conference is.
Yeah.
It's so terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so, but the nice thing is like for the Celtics, you get a good player, you got a good young team, you got a decent coach. All of a sudden, man, you're like right back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and you're facing the Lakers.
So what do you think about Luke?
I'm excited Lakers coach. About Luke. I'm excited about Luke. I think I think he's probably a little overrated.
Yeah. That's what I've been saying. It really does feel like a little bit of a stopgap.
I mean, the Lakers are famous for Homer picks, yes. For coach.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just it's what they do. I like Luke. I think when Luke was a player, he was, you know, he's a smart guy. He's
right.
Got a great basketball
heritage.
Look,
yeah.
I mean, he's you know, I mean, he played, you know, I mean, he's a UCLA guy. No,
yep.
No,
Stanford, right?
Yeah, no, Arizona.
Arizona, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he played for a great coach there. He played for a great coach with the Lakers. His dad is one of the brilliant basketball minds of our time.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Walton, you know, I mean, say what you want about his broadcasting style, but the guy is a genius.
I mean, love Bill Walton.
He's the John Madden of basketball.
He really is.
You know?
Yeah.
So he has a great legacy of basketball. He had a great basketball IQ when he played for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who had almost no physical talent who still managed to have a very successful career and win a couple of championships.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only guy on that Lakers team who could throw a post entry pass, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a smart guy. I think he can be a very good coach. I think that, you know, he just needs kind of experience.
Yeah.
So that worries me.
It feels too early. I think he's got no experience, and he's coming into this young group of guys who, are they going to have that respect for him and really play for him the way they would maybe play for somebody else who's been doing it for at least 7 years or something like that? Or somebody like
Byron Scott?
Well, yeah, or like, you know, if I think Jason Kidd walks in and coaches a team and he's got a different level of respect than a Luke Walton. And I don't think anybody is saying, even though Luke did great, the Warriors did great underneath him, it was still the Warriors.
Right.
And I think there is still that little bit of how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck couldn't cut chuck wood with a coach in
the
NBA.
It was a nice situation, right?
Yeah.
you know, I mean, coaching that team and that schedule and that in that point in time and those players. And, you know, I think one of the great strengths for a coach is to know when it's time to just roll out the balls and let the guys play.
Mm-hmm.
But from everything that I've heard, Luke's got a good strategic mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was smart enough to know when not to be in the way.
Right.
You know, he didn't try to enforce his will.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I mean, the other thing is in terms of like, how's he going to relate? Right. You know, I mean, I think he's a young guy. Well, I know he's a young guy, but I think that he's the same generation as these players.
Right. So he does have that going.
So he's
going
to, there's going to be that connection to him. My fear with Luke Walton being the coach of such a young team is that he's going to try to be their buddies too much.
Right.
You know, and we saw this with Byron Scott too, you know, like coming out onto the floor during practice and like, and playing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's when you're the coach, you got to coach.
Yeah.
I mean, and this, it's funny, right? I mean, we're
talking about dads.
We're talking about being parents again, you know, when you're a parent, like, man, I love hanging out with my son.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like my word is law.
Yeah.
You know? And so you have to be that as the coach. And so my concern with a guy as young as Luke is that he's going to make that mistake of, these are my boys.
Right.
You know, I love hanging out with these guys.
We've got
this great rapport.
Boys with a Z.
Yeah, boys with a Z for sure.
Yeah.
And that's a sure with an S-H-O.
Yeah,
For sure. But yeah, I mean, that's my biggest concern. I mean, I think he's a smart dude. I think he's got a great basketball legacy. I think he's got a great basketball IQ. Steve Kerr's a hell of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's hugely beneficial to work under a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, who knows, dude? I mean, here's the thing. He can't be worse than Mike Brown, Mike D'Antoni, or Byron Scott.
No, yeah.
So the Mike minute Brown that they hired funny. Him, he was the best coach that they've had in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If he steps on his dick, you know, then okay, well, we can talk. But I mean, I'm happy with it. What I'm really interested to see is you know, my biggest fear this offseason is that Jimmy Buss is going to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that Jimmy Buss knows his tenure's up at the end of this next season, according to Genie. He's got this promise. If I don't get him back to the Western Conference Finals in X amount of time, and that time ends next playoffs, then he's going to step down and Genie's going to come. So, and this is worse. This is a lose-lose in my mind because then Jimmy Buss is going to try to trade his pick and all of his players for a bunch of vets that are going to get him back to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and then you're screwed.
And then you're screwed because you got a bunch of guys that you can't afford that, you know, you signed for a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
And we all know that's never going to work anyways because teams take longer than that to gel.
Right.
Then the flip side of that is that Jimmy stands pat. He says, I like what we've built here. He gets fired because his team doesn't get to the playoffs. And then Genie comes in with Phil.
Yep.
And I love Phil Jackson as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand Phil Jackson as a GM, man.
Why? He has turned the Knicks around.
Right? He tried to trade Kobe Bryant for 36-year-old Jason Kidd, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Phil Jackson is terrible at evaluating talent.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, Phil, know your role. Know what you're good at. You know, what you're amazing at. Go find a coach, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't pick players. You suck at it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, before the Lakers got Lamar, he wanted to trade Kobe for Lamar. He tried to trade Kobe for, you know, he wanted to trade Kobe for Jason Kidd, you know, when Jason Kidd was way over the hill.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's that's my biggest fear. I almost feel like this season, like the outcome is bad no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing I think that happens. And you want some controversy on your podcast?
I do.
I actually like Jimmy Buss. I don't love Jimmy Buss, but I don't think Jimmy Buss is as horrible as Laker fans think that say that he is. Mm. You know, and he stayed out of Kupchak's way when it came time to draft Bynum. And, you know, I mean, Jimmy says Bynum was his pick, but Mitch Kupchak makes the draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
The Pau Gasol trade was great. You know, picking D'Angelo Russell, I like. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of Okafor. I think he's got a low motor and mm-hmm. the guy got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I like the draft picks. I like Larry Nance. I like Jordan Clarkson. These are all picks that have happened under Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Jimmy was involved, but he didn't mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
He's made some terrible coaching choices. But I mean, at the time, they didn't look terrible, you know? Dwight Howard, not a bad idea at the time. Steve Nash, okay, pretty bad idea at the time. Probably the worst choice that he's made. Yeah. But you get it, you know? Bring in the vet, the savvy vet who knows how to run, you know, run an offense. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that the guy was already past his last leg. We didn't know that Dwight Howard had the mental maturity of 13-year-olds.
Yeah,
you know? Jimmy Buss to me is not the devil that he's been made out to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's made some questionable choices, but you know, I mean, unless you're Greg Popovich, you've made questionable choices.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, Greg Popovich absolutely screwed up in game 6 a couple of years ago. So even Greg Popovich isn't perfect.
Of course.
You know, so I feel like, you know, Jimmy's not the devil that he's been made out to be. I think if he'll just stay out of the way, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would love to see is Genie come in and say, you know what? I actually think the team's headed in the right direction. And yeah, I know that Jimmy didn't hit his, you know, his goal, but mm-hmm. we're gonna leave him there. Cause I'd rather have Jimmy there than Phil.
Yeah. Well, maybe that'll happen.
You know?
Okay. So tell me about we'll flip a little. Tell me about your excitement about your Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, dude. January 12th, 2016. A day that will forever be remembered. And not just because it was the day before my birthday and I had like 80 people tell me, hey, I got you the Rams for your birthday.
Oh, shoot, I think I may have been one of the guys who did that.
You D-bag. So pumped, man. I mean, I feel bad for St. Louis. I feel your pain,
mm-hmm.
you know, St. Louis Rams fan.
Yeah.
Be with me, you know, let's just be Rams fans together. St. Louis, Los Angeles. Hey man, I never lost faith when they left LA and they went to St. Louis. I was still a Rams fan the whole time. You can be Rams fans too. We'll just all be Rams fans together. You know, I mean, we've just doubled our fan base.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's I'm pumped, man. I'm so geeked. Like, it's so awesome. And I mean, like, and it's funny because it's not like I'm going to go to, you know, 8 games next year.
Right.
I can't afford season tickets.
You'll go to at least one.
I'll go to one. Yeah. I might go to two.
Yeah.
I'm for sure going to opening day. And I don't care if I got to, you know,
who
sell
are they
one
playing
of my
opening
kids.
Day?
I don't care. Okay. Hopefully the Niners.
I will Google that while you talk.
Thank you.
Yes.
But dude, the reality is they're going to be on TV. They're going to be on TV.
Are they going to be?
Oh, hell yeah. They're going to be on TV, dude. They will. Here's the thing.
I guess that's true because it's not a.
They're going to sell out. They're going to sell out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, this is the return team. They got one of the most vicious defenses in football. They got Jared Goff, the number one pick. And I mean, say what you want. Like, that was probably a terrible trade to trade away like 5 picks to get Jared Goff. But goddamn, man, they got the number one pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They got the golden boy quarterback, you know, Stanford kid. I mean, it's like, it's so perfect.
Seahawks.
They play the
their
Seahawks
first,
in
their
the first
game of the season is the 49ers, but that's up in
that's on the road,
Santa Clara
in the stick or wherever
so,
the hell,
Sunday,
whatever
September
shit hole
18th.
The Niners play in.
That's actually a great. Have you been there to Santa Clara?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful. I love San Francisco. I just hate the Niners.
Yeah, that's a very sad. I mean, think about how. I mean, I know it was Kaepernick, so really, like, it wasn't. It was semi unsettling, but think about how.
Are you talking
really
about the
good
the,
that team was?
Just the implosion
yeah,
of the Niners.
God,
oh
they
God!
Just,
it was last offseason was the most glorious thing I've ever seen. It was beautiful. Just, I mean, literally watching guys being like, you know what? I hate playing here so much. Mm-hmm. I retire.
Yeah.
Guys are like, yeah, you know what? I could probably stay in the NFL for another 8 years and make like $30 million. But you know what? I hate the Niners so much. I quit.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I'm done.
God, it was beautiful. But yeah, I mean, they're like, you know, their defense is so great. If they could just get the offense working, they could be tough, mm-hmm. you know? And I mean, I don't hate the Raiders.
I'm going to, okay. You do hate the Patriots.
Oh God, I hate the Cheatriots. Come on.
You hate the Patriots.
I mean, here's the thing, right? I'm a Rams fan.
Right. So
Mike Martz's Rams played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. They cheated. That was a 3-touchdown spread, and somehow it's close. You've got the most powerful offense of all time that suddenly can't do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, man.
So let's talk about Deflategate. So it is a joke.
It's a total joke.
I mean,
it's stupid. This is going to, it's literally going, we're going to have a Supreme Court decision ultimately, because it's just going to keep getting appealed and keep getting appealed and keep getting appealed.
And it's going, it's on the one hand, I love it. Face, I think.
On the one hand, I love it because it's just hilarious.
Right.
You know? And I mean the fact that like the courts are involved,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's a game, right?
It's entertainment.
I mean, it's like, it's okay. Here, let me put this into perspective for you. You ever played Counter-Strike?
I have not. That's okay, the Arnold Schwarzenegger game, right?
No, that's something else. But it's a video game.
Okay.
So forget Counter-Strike. But we have a professional sports video game league mm-hmm. now.
Yes.
You know, they pack stadiums. Imagine a world where the Supreme Court is making a ruling about a video game.
Right.
About somebody killing somebody in a video game.
Right, yeah.
How stupid is that?
Yeah.
And this is what we have with Deflategate.
Yeah.
We literally have courts involved with this. Why? Why do we have courts involved with this? This is stupid. It should just be the ruling comes down from the NFL, and that's the end of it. The fact that it's continuing on is like, it's nonsense. It just defies reason. It's
the face saving is all it is. I mean, it's not even, I don't think it's even really the games. I think it's the fact that you have found nothing.
Yeah.
There is this long thing that basically says exactly that.
Yeah.
Yet you are actually, it's not just the face saving. I take that back, because the fact that they had their picks stripped and that didn't get returned to them in the wake of all this, that's the bigger thing now, I think, is to me, as like, as I'm thinking ahead as a Patriots fan, is you've just kind of screwed with our future and over this thing that still really, you have not proven anything. The one thing is the fact that Tom Brady didn't turn over his phone. That's really what you're going after, is that this, like, not even circumstantial evidence, this suspicious weirdness, which a guy who is one of the best top athletes in your sport, mm-hmm. who is a multimillionaire and has all this stuff going on, maybe has some stuff that he doesn't want coming out on his phone.
Right.
And but, is, I mean, not wanting to turn it over.
But in either direction, the result's the same.
Yeah.
The NFL makes a ruling and we move on, you know? I mean, that's the end of it. Like, the fact that there's more after that is crazy.
Right.
You know, the NFL, you know, and I mean, like, the fact that we even had like a third party come in and like write this big long report.
Right. And do this $1 million.
Like, no. Yeah. No, don't do any of that. You know, just say, hey, there's enough circumstantial evidence, and this is a game.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going to take away your first round draft pick, and let's move on now.
Yeah.
And then everybody goes, okay. And then we move on. And I get, you know, it's a big business, but I you know, it's not. It's a game.
I think if it wasn't Goodell, it would all be 100% different. If it was somebody else kind of levying this, not only because of his history with Kraft, but because of just the way all of his other disciplinary action has been handed out and what it has come down to is, you know, you've got somebody who we have this video of beating his wife or whatever, and he's getting this,
right.
And somebody who we really don't have any evidence, who there may be something sneaky that went on with these balls that they still, if you found it at the end of the first half, he destroyed you even worse in the second half with the correct balls.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this weird.
There's a bunch of shenanigans going on. But I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter because
it is entertainment.
It's entertainment. And the NFL comes in and they say, here's what we decided.
Yeah.
And that decision stands, you know, and then we move on. And it's like, and the funny thing is that even if it was the most harsh penalty that you can possibly imagine against the Patriots, it still would be over by now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And instead, this is just going to drag on and on and on, and it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. You know, and but it's funny because we just had a similar thing in the NBA with Draymond Green kicking Steven Adams in the balls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
which is his second offense in the series.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, look, there was another similar play in the other series, and the guy got suspended for a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the league's like, no, we're not going to suspend him.
To Draymond Green.
Yeah. We're not going to suspend Draymond Green. And it's like, okay, and people are pissed, but okay, there's no Supreme Court ruling. There's no, I'm taking this to the Ninth Circuit of appellate judge. I mean, there's none of that. It's just like, okay, well, the NBA ruled. All right, we're done. Now let's move on, you know? But in the NFL, it's like, what? You know, and now we've got court and there's lawyers involved. And I mean, dude, the minute that you get lawyers involved, I mean, the whole thing's just a circus.
Yeah.
You know, it's a joke.
Well, if it also there, I mean, it's hard to compare those apples and oranges because you're talking about if you were to truly make the comparison better in basketball, it would be that it was Steph Curry, that there was not video footage of something that occurred.
Right.
And that it was what would be the correct mathematical breakdown.
Right.
That it would be,
that Steph Curry threw a game.
Yeah, and that he would be getting suspended for what is 40% of the Warriors games, as well as the Warriors paying so much of a fine and getting all these draft picks revoked. So it would be, I think then if it got to that level, there would be some kind of something.
But I mean, there's
one game is.
I mean, it's like the malice at the palace, I mean, it's just. You make a ruling and you move on, I mean, it's, and look, I mean, okay, love the condition, the commissioner, hate the commissioner, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's the authority.
He is the commissioner,
And so he comes in and he says, hey, we have enough as evidence to believe that, that there was cheating that happened. So you're suspended for four games.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, well, that sucks. And Patriots fans go, well, that's bullshit. But the four games pass and the Patriots win three of them and we move on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's the fact that we have lawyers involved in a sport. It's like, don't we have more important things going on? I mean, come on. Like, can we just, I mean, Jesus Christ, Trump's about to be elected president and we're worried about the goddamn Patriots.
Can we focus on Trump and Sanders?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's nonsense, but, I want to just kind of put a ribbon on this and take it back to basketball. I want you this season to sit down with me four times
and watch a game. Okay.
Yeah.
And I can commit to that.
I'll pick two and you pick two.
Okay.
And two of those games though have to be Lakers Celtics games because they'll play each other twice this year.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
We actually, so I will wrap this up in a tidier bow because we're getting near the end of this fork in the road. Actually, I say it's going to be a very tidy bow, but this could potentially lead into a whole nother conversation, which I won't let it. But Missy and I both agreed on our dislike for Kobe. We just don't like the guy.
Mm.
And I'll just leave it at that. We just don't like him. And that was kind of, she was raised as a Laker fan, and she always liked the Lakers and
you
whatever.
You negatively influenced your wife.
Potentially.
Yeah.
She just never liked Kobe. And so really, we watched that last game. We both. And
I was there.
I know. That's right. You were there. Matt was there too.
Yeah, I know. I saw him.
And your brother, Josh, was there, right? Were you with him or no?
Yeah.
Josh. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So we watched that game, and it was the first time we had watched a game in I don't even know how long. And we really enjoyed it. And part of that enjoyment came, honestly, from the fact that there weren't 12 timeouts in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. NBA's got a problem.
That's one of our problems with games, and we don't love that. But but we really did love the game, and we both said to each other, that was fun.
Yeah.
Didn't you like that? Yeah, I like that. Maybe we can start watching basketball.
Yeah, that it was a – dude, that was a – I mean, to be there live was the most amazing.
I'm sure.
That's the most amazing sporting event I've ever been to.
I'm sure.
I mean, I've not been to the Super Bowl. I've not been to the Preakness. But, I mean, for me, you know, just average Joe who goes to a few games a year, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd – was nuts. My voice was shot for 4 days afterwards. Yeah. And you know what? Kobe shot 50 times. It felt like 20.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and the thing is it's like, it was, and I said this afterwards, I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a Lakers fan and a Kobe hater. And he was just like, it was just a circus. It was stupid. Mm. Kobe shot 50 times. I'm like, you know what though? I was there. That was not selfishness. That was generosity.
Right. Yeah.
That crowd wanted Kobe to take every single shot, and they wanted him to score 100 points.
Yeah.
And he did every single thing in his power to give that crowd exactly what they wanted. It was, I mean, look, it was a completely meaningless game for a team that won 16 games leading up to that one in the entire season. But, I mean, it was the pinnacle of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was literally a guy just, I mean, dude, that was just, the guy played 20 seasons, and to score 60 points in his last game.
Especially during the kind of season that he has had.
I mean, it was a totally average, mediocre season. There was nothing special about
this. Below average.
Yeah, there was nothing. There was not one special thing about the season.
He probably had what? Maybe three very good games.
Yeah, a few good games.
Which one had come semi-recently before that.
Yeah.
But yes, we turned and said to each other, because we are not Kobe fans, we said, Kobe's gone. Maybe we could be Lakers fans now.
Yeah.
And
you should be Lakers fans too. Can I just tell you one thing?
Yes.
So D'Angelo Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Clarkson.
That's two things. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you a couple more things too. Julius Randle.
Uh-huh. I love Larry Nance Jr.
Larry Nance Jr.
I loved his dad.
Yeah.
I was a big Cavaliers fan during that time.
Luke Walton. And they're going to get either Ben Simmons or Ingram in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that they chase Hassan Whiteside from Miami.
Yep.
Very, very hard. Miami's got a bunch of players to re-sign. They don't have the cap to sign Whiteside.
Yep.
I'd love to see them max him out. So they could potentially have Whiteside, Randall, Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, and either Simmons or Ingram, and Larry Nance Jr. and Luke Walton. That's a blazing hot team. It's completely homegrown. Those are all their draft picks.
They're young. Yeah.
And they're going to be a team that's going to be attractive to kind of mid-level free agents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, I mean, they're not a target for Durant.
Right.
Not, not somebody like that.
Yeah.
But if that team comes together and gels and plays well next season and wins 35 to 38 games, which I think is probably their ceiling, next season, they're a target for a guy like Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got a nice Nike contract.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Nike would love to have him in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know? And if they get him, oh my God. I mean, that's the guy that they need.
Oh yeah.
You know? It's an exciting time to be a Lakers fan. And dude, you don't want to be a Celtics fan living in Southern California. I mean, there's no reason to subject yourself and your wife to that kind of torment and embarrassment. You know, I'm wearing my Celtics green shoes earlier, but I took them off.
So the, yeah, it's basically the, you know, it's very easy for me to be a Celtics fan.
Yeah. Is that the brain damage?
It's from the multiple head drops. But it is, it would also potentially be very easy for me to be a Lakers fan and be here. And
this is a good time to be a basketball fan, and not just a Lakers fan, a Celtics fan, but just in general. I think the level of talent in the league is climbing right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're reaching the golden age of, you know, 84 to 88. But it's certainly higher than it was, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, there's a lot of great players in the league right
now. Yeah. There's and a lot of young really ones. So young. It's going to be going on for a while. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
It's true. All right. Well, we will be watching some basketball this year, at least 4 games.
You're all welcome. All 3 of you who are listening to this are welcome to come with us.
Nice. Well, that's, there went my listeners. True. There maybe won't be many wives who sat down and said,
I wonder what Jason Green has to say about sports.
So they're talking about the Lakers and Deflategate? I'm all in. but there will be some people. Ken, thank you for listening.
I'm calling him out by name. Yeah. I'm looking through my magic glass.
Yeah. Magic mirror from, was that Romper Room?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again for sticking out so late.
It's now 11:50.
Yeah. Wow.
So I have to wake up in 4 hours.
So thank you for that. You'll be thinking of me tomorrow, cursing my name.
I will.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. And I will give you guys, if there's any pertinent updates to give on Jason and his daddiness at home, I will give you those. Otherwise, you can, you know how he's doing when you're watching the Rams and the Lakers win or lose. You'll know what kind of good or bad day Jason's having.
That's painfully true.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, so that is the end of the Fork in the Road episode with Jason Green, who, again, I appreciate him coming in. So thanks, Jason. I'm assuming you're listening to this. Thanks, Heidi, for letting him come down and record this. I won't thank the kids because they're in bed. They don't know any different. But thank you all for any of you who stuck it out and listened to that. I know that sports talk isn't for everybody, but there was really like, that was the perfect conversation for us to have. And there are some basketball fans out there, so you probably stuck it out. So thank you for listening to The Fork in the Road. Again, I will give you all of the rundown. You can find Daddy Unscripted on Twitter under Daddy Unscripted. You can find Facebook Daddy Unscripted. You can go to the website, which has all of the episodes and some older blog entries. And I'll still be doing some writing here and there, which is daddyunscripted.com. Please, please, please go onto iTunes, subscribe, leave a review. Those reviews help me so much in potentially getting into the new and noteworthy section and bringing a lot more listeners to the podcast and bringing us more and more excellent guests to be able to speak with. And I would really love it to keep kind of going in that direction. So leave a review on iTunes, and hopefully we can kind of keep that ball rolling. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.